Write new software. Step 5, map wellness strategies. As we discuss how to map or program changes, refer to two workbook exercises. 14 Steps to Edit Your Story, page 2.12, and 5 Steps to Revise a Storyline, page 2.14. Insight and understanding alone are not enough to replace an old story. How many people do you know who can tell you all there is to know about something they're struggling with? They may be experts on diet, weight, nutrition, yet haven't changed. Many years ago, when I treated severe anorexics in a hospital setting, they each knew more about food and nutrition than my entire treatment team of experts and me. Underlying causes are always present for any problem, often complex, multi-determined causes. A coaching approach is to use causes, feelings, and history only as information. At times, simply doing what is currently effective dissolves barriers. And people need nudges when they're least likely to make good choices, for decisions that are difficult or rare, for when they don't get feedback, when they have trouble translating things into understandable terms, or when they persist in re-entering the old story, which etches it further in the brain each time. There are 7 crucial elements to map wellness strategies. When you understand and incorporate each of these 7, you have the outline to master your life story of wellness. 1. Regulate states of mind. States of mind are like software programs. They're mind-body states that determine how we perceive and process information, and how we respond. We each have a set of different states of mind: relaxation, alertness, anxiety, anger, centered attention. A key element is to be aware of our different states of mind and to know which state works best for what purpose. For example, creative writing versus editing, brainstorming versus completing a project, each different states of mind. When someone's in an emotional state, they're marooned in their right brain, the feeling intuitive brain. The emotional brain can hijack the intellectual logical brain and hold it hostage. So what do? Your brain is working against you. When you're in any state of upset, the first order of business is to regulate feelings to restore a cool state. Poker players call it tilt. When you lose big or win big, you're emotional and inclined to play your last hand or your leftover emotion. With any kind of tilt, break the state of mind. Step away from the table, whether it's poker, conference, or dinner. Take a walk. Wash your hands and face with cold water. Breathe deeply. Take a time out. Even sleep on it. Let me think about that and get back to you is a decision. Then you can respond when your state of mind is balanced. The brain equation for good decisions: right brain, emotional, plus left brain, logical intellectual, equals balanced decision. Here's what I've found from executive mentor coaching. Regulating states of mind and managing emotions is the most crucial success strategy. Your response to a mistake affects the quality and effectiveness of your next experience. Don't let yesterday take up too much of today. Review in the addendum a grounding and centering exercise on page A4. One example: anxiety with public speaking. The most effective antidote is grounding. Anxiety is energy experienced in the body. Energy can be transformed by getting grounded, getting centered. Then emotional energy, rather than being blocked or managed, can connect to the audience. You have most access to all of your states of mind, all the information you possess, when you're relaxed and centered. I have some of my best ideas while I'm jogging. My wife has some of her most creative spurts while she's in the shower. Both are activities fully inside a body experience. Why is this important? Because there's no part of life or business that this isn't applicable. Here's a practical application. Lump tasks according to states of mind required to do them. It takes energy to change a state of mind, so clustering similar tasks that require the same state of mind is an efficient strategy. Going back and forth during the same time period is both exhausting and inefficient. For example, creative writing and editing are two different states of mind. Learn the optimum state of mind for a particular task. Cluster tasks that require the same states of mind. Protect your time for an endeavor of a particular state of mind. For example, action items such as errands may be most useful for a time later in the day when you're tired and have more difficulty concentrating. Here's an extreme example of the role of state change. Symptomatic eating is physiologically regulating. It soothes and calms. Symbolically, it's also a proxy for nurturance. But at some point, the story can take over the author. Before transitioning into full-time coaching, as a psychiatrist, when I worked with eating disorder individuals, I would ask, for example, to the bulimic, at what point in the binge does your state of mind change? At what instant did you become calm? Inevitably, I heard the instant just before the first bite of food ever entered my mouth. This is the same with any addictive process, drugs, drinking, gambling. The alcoholic will admit, before the alcohol ever touched his lips, he felt calm or different. When people sit down at a slot machine, their amygdalas light up and dopamine gets torqued before they ever touch a button. The state change is not reliant on the physical substance, but the process. This shows how powerful our minds and our behaviors are. The food is only a prop in a process for the eating disorder individual, and an unnecessary one at that. I worked with over 2,000 eating disorder individuals. Not one disagreed with this statement. If you are totally present when you take each bite, you'll never eat symptomatically again. In your wellness story, in addition to a present grounded state, as opposed to disconnected or automatically and unconsciously eating, consider being grateful for each bite. If you offer a silent statement or prayer of gratitude for each bite, you'll focus consciously on the food. Notice, this process also focuses your awareness on whether you should be grateful. Is this bite good for your body? Your brain can be measured to function differently depending on the music you listen to. Doctors Garden Shaw and Francis Rauscher showed that undergraduates who listened to 10 minutes of a Mozart sonata performed better on cognitive tests. The improvement lasted for 10 to 15 minutes. This Mozart effect is about getting centered and relaxed to have access to information stored in all of your mind states. Create a list of things that change your state of mind. Here are some prompts. Make your first thoughts of the day positive and fulfilling. They set in motion how the day will transpire. Make your last thought at night before you go to sleep a positive, enhancing one. It sets in motion what your unconscious mind works on while you're asleep. A meditation period of 3 to 10 minutes a day can be powerful to get centered and determine your focus. Be aware of especially fertile times to plant seeds, such as the beginning and ending of the day. If you're positive, it will grow. If you're a collector of injustices, your collection will grow. The quickest signal of what you're thinking about is what you're feeling. Feelings let you know whether you're on track or not. The number two element to map changes. Power is in the focus. Thoughts have a frequency, an energy field. Focus selects a frequency. All the channels of a radio or satellite TV are available. We choose the channel, the frequency we want, out of hundreds of possibilities. We each transmit and receive a frequency through our thoughts. If you want to change something in your life, change the frequency, the channel. Change your thoughts. The bad news, if you think about what you don't want, it keeps showing up over and over. Quantum mechanics offers us some understanding. The quantum Zeno effect says the mental act of attention activates and holds in place brain circuitry. With consistent focus and repetition, these chemical links actually become stable changes in the brain's structure. The brain rewires. This concept offers explanation at a brain level for why a solution focus is more effective than a problem focus. These brain connections literally become mind maps and subsequently influence the reality that we see. New neuronal networks and pathways are created when you focus on solutions. The already existing circuitry is further etched when you focus on existing problems. This is why people can get stuck in therapy. Neuroscience validates the reality that it's not the understanding of the source of our thoughts that's most beneficial, but a focus on awareness of choice. The law of attraction is based in neuroscience. If you lay a nail and a paper clip side by side, nothing happens. When you take a magnet and stroke the nail several times from head to point, it becomes a magnet and can pick up the paper clip. Why? The molecules of the nail are aligned in the same direction. It's the same with your energy field. When all of you is going in the same direction and focused, you have power. In the film and book The Secret, the adage is ask, believe, receive. The law of attraction won't give you what you want. It will help you have the energy to sustain the process to create what you want. It won't send a Brinks truck up your driveway or align the lotto balls for you. But you can align your internal molecules by focus and purpose to point to specific goals. It's a way to use your power to write the story you want. So instead of ask, believe, receive, consider this. Ask, believe, create. The ABCs. My grandmother offered her critique of the film The Secret 5 decades before it was released. She said, "Wishes don't wash dishes." The paradox is that we do not attract what we want, but we attract what we focus on. Everyone wants more money, so wanting is not the key to having it. Focusing on scarcity attracts scarcity. Focusing on prosperity aligns your energy to pursue prosperity. Your unconscious doesn't register positive or negative, just the focus. A print or negative is the same image. Your unconscious is that image. The power of focus. Whatever you attend to or focus on, you align yourself to create. So be sure you focus on the right thing. I want to get out of debt. The focus is on debt. I want to lose weight. The focus is on weight. Here's one that's kept a lot of dry cleaners busy. I want to be really careful and not spill something on this new outfit. A quote by Dr. Joseph Murray. Your subconscious mind does not argue with you. It accepts what your conscious mind decrees. If you say, "I can't afford it," your subconscious mind works to make it true. Notice which people worry about illness, which talk about pains or disorders. The people who are afraid of getting sick are the ones who get sick most of the time. What you worry about happens because you focus on it. Put energy into what you want. Focus on possibilities instead of problems. Desires instead of obstacles. To fight something is to engage it, to add energy to it. This creates resistance. When you focus on what you want, what you don't want falls away, like your lap when you get up to walk. The pen is in your hand to write your story. To reiterate, the energy we're talking about is not the energy of stamina, as in tired versus refreshed, but that of energy field, this invisible, very real connection. Someone's energy field tells you immediately whether they're warm and inviting, cold or stay away, charismatic, energetic. Quantum physics offers us still another paradigm. In addition to our individual energy field, there is a collective field, and you can tap into and resonate with this field, the quantum field of possibility. Einstein called it a unified theory. Basically, the human mind and body are bundles of energy and interact with the collective larger energy field of others. This is how we can read people, focus our choices, and determine the flow of our future. Jung referred to the collective unconscious. How can we do this? What can you do to tap into this collective field? When you're grounded and connected, these are physics terms. When you're grounded and connected to yourself, it opens doors and creates synchronicities. A popular term is in the zone. Your choices set this flow into motion, just as other choices cause derailment of this process. You set your day in motion when you wake up happy and excited about what you'll do that day. Days when nothing goes right can usually be traced to an instant when you become disconnected from yourself, such as feeling bad or a disturbing thought, or stubbing your toe when you get out of bed. You create your state of mind and set yourself on a particular path. The law of attraction is neutral and impersonal. It works equally for positive or negative thoughts, good things or bad things. You keep coming back to what you run away from. You attract what you resist because you engage it with focused emotion. The most important principle is to focus on what you do want rather than on what you don't want. Most focus is outside awareness. The challenge is to target the specific outcomes you want. Discover all the things that you focus on that you don't want. Make a list as you notice thinking about them. This list will cue your radar for early recognition. Then, each time you notice thinking about them, stop and think what you do want. Be very specific about what you do want, not just what you don't want in disguise. I want a reliable car. Focuses on the idea that the car may break down and need repairs. I want a relationship in which I'm treated well. Focuses on the expectation that you won't be treated well and will have to reverse it. Let's do an articulate your unconscious exercise. Do this test to see how it works. I'll be your conscious mind. You be your unconscious mind. You will follow each statement with, "Your wish is my command." I'm tired. I'm late. I'm overweight. I'm eating healthily all day. When you said your wish is my command, that's your unconscious response to every conscious statement or thought that you have. Make both stories from your conscious mind and your unconscious mind ones you want. Make both go in the same direction. Thinking this way is not magical. It requires discipline. This is why most people don't have spectacular results. Spectacular results require mind and brain consistency for at least 25 to 30 days without resistance to change and without reverting back to the old pattern. Two quotes. One from William James, the father of American psychology. "Wisdom is learning what to overlook." And the other from my grandmother, the secret critic. "If you're not having fun, you're not doing it right." A final vignette on focus. One evening, an elder Cherokee told his grandson about a battle that goes on inside people. He said, "My son, the battle is between two wolves inside us all. One is evil. It is anger, envy, jealousy, sorrow, regret, greed, arrogance, self-pity, guilt, resentment, inferiority, lies, false pride. The other is good. It is joy, peace, love, hope, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith." The grandson thought about it for a minute and then asked his grandfather, "Which wolf wins?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed." Number three element to map changes: visualize changes. Basketball players at Ohio State University were divided into three groups to practice shooting free throws. One group, no practice for a month. Another group, 30 minutes of practice daily at free throws. Another group practiced imagining shooting free throws, nothing but net, for at least 5 minutes daily for the 30 days. They were tested at the end of 30 days. The first group, no practice, 0% improvement. The second group, actual practice for 30 minutes daily, 24% improvement. The third group, practice by visualization only, 23% improvement. On brain imaging, the same sequence of firing occurs with visualization as with actually shooting. So, create a vision. Then, look back to see the path to get there. The most common mistake is having a vague sketch rather than a vision. Every image draws you toward its conclusion. An image is like a goal. If you create a negative image, such as, "I can't dance," or "I'll look goofy if I really cut loose dancing," I have no trouble coming up with some of these examples, this will be a destination that your brain will draw you to. If you picture yourself as not able to dance, when you go to your party, the image says, "I can't dance." You will stay in the zone of that self-image. You create your experience. You can create something else instead. All of you can, at least. Create another image of yourself and live into it. Here's an application, a focus and visualization exercise. Focus on the weight that feels good to you. Picture what you'll look like at your ideal weight. Look at these pictures, these mental images, daily. Be very specific about the image. Write out your ideal body weight range. Focus on the body you want, your ideal weight range, your ideal body, your true body self. Remember, this has to be your body at ideal weight. You can't lose weight and have Alicia Keys' body. Don't focus on losing weight. Don't focus on fat thoughts, such as slow metabolism, hereditary body size, slow thyroid, the spirit of your great Aunt Sally that channeled the curse of large thighs. Look at and admire your body. Be grateful. Keep in mind the pictures you have. When you eat, be entirely present to the act of eating and to your body. Visualize the thoroughly chewed food assimilated throughout your body. Think and feel as though your desire is manifest. Create your body as your life intentionally. Remember the ABCs. Ask, believe, create. The art of a vision. Visualization is a way to rehearse for your future. It takes both art and science to establish a vision. A group of executives asked me to present a seminar to them on writing a first book. The first thing I asked was, "Have any of you seen a yellow Jeep in the last month?" There were 24 people present. One person raised his hand. Then I went through a visualization exercise with them. Let's do it now. Close your eyes and visualize a yellow Jeep, the specific detail of how it looks. Walk toward it. Walk all around it. Look at the tires, the body, the trim. Open the passenger door. Look at the seat, the steering wheel, the dash. Smell the interior. Touch the seat. Start it and listen to it run. As you sit there, take in all of your experience through all of your senses. Now turn the motor off. Get up, out, and then close the door. As you're walking away from the Jeep, turn around and take one more last look at it. Now, open your eyes. In the next week, see what happens. I asked the executives to contact me if they happened to see a yellow Jeep in the next week. 22 of the executives contacted me in the first 3 days to say that they had spotted a yellow Jeep. What happened? What someone sees, what appears on the radar screen, is determined by belief and assumption. A yellow Jeep was pre-programmed as possibility. For example, the most common reason people don't earn more money and accumulate wealth is that they don't see themselves capable of it. I can tell you how much money people will make by listening to their assumptions. Once someone genuinely sees himself or herself as capable of doing it, all sorts of things begin to happen. The amount of wealth or yellow Jeeps existing in the world doesn't change. You just code your radar for possibility. It's difficult to challenge long-held beliefs because they're a part of your identity. A vision starts at the other end, the successful outcome. If someone has a fear of success or a fear of failure, the visioning process bypasses that fear and etches the successful outcome. In the film The Lookout, Lewis, a blind man, helps his mentally challenged roommate make sense of things by thinking of his day as a story. Lewis said, "Start at the end. Can't tell a story if you don't know where it's going." Our possibilities are only limited to the ones we allow ourselves to see. The science of a vision. Recent PET scans, positron emission tomography, of the brain have confirmed several things about visualization. Visualization brings about actual physical changes in the brain. The brain assimilates a mental picture, whether the stimulus is actual from the optic nerve or imagined. The brain cannot tell the difference between a mental image from an actual image. Replays of the visualization, such as repeating the vision of having successfully attained the goal, programs neural networks and neuronal pathways to more strongly etch the experience. Mental visualization of a complex movement can actually improve performance. PET scans have also established that thoughts result in physical changes in your brain. When you program your unconscious, you actually create a future memory to live into. The brain can't tell who conjured it, you or reality. The more detailed your visual image, the more specifically etched your brain will be. Here's the key. You do not make the brain changes permanent unless you incorporate them into your story. Otherwise, it doesn't register or gets extruded as noise. This may be, for example, why 95% of people who diet gain back their weight. They don't reprogram their body image. Another example, if you see yourself in a successful business, you create the specific imagery to live that experience. You then incorporate it as part of your identity rather than as belonging to someone else. We know that by simply picturing a danger, we can trigger the entire body responses of fight or flight. While your unconscious mind cannot tell the difference between something you physically see and something you mentally picture, your conscious mind can. So your conscious mind must incorporate an evolving story to include and assemble the imagery as part of the story. Otherwise, unconscious messages will delete access to or believability of that imagery. There are three key elements here. Repetition. The neural networks dedicated to your vision must be renewed and repeated regularly, or they'll be eliminated. Secondly, consciously incorporate this new vision into an ongoing story to be ultimately metabolized as part of the self. Otherwise, you'll lose the vision. And third, be very specific about the experience of having achieved the goal. A footnote. Write it down. Research on memory tells us that a new idea or fact lasts an average of 40 seconds in short-term memory. Then it's gone, unless you write it down to review. Visualization crystallizes possibility into an articulated idea. The experience changes the brain. A vision serves as guide and inspiration to design ways to realize it, to live into it. Major James Nesmith spent 7 years as a prisoner of war in North Vietnam. During the time he was imprisoned, he was essentially isolated and had no physical activity. Before the war, Major Nesmith was an average weekend golfer, breaking 100 on 2 occasions by 1 stroke each time. To preserve his sanity, he learned to visualize golf. He selected his favorite country club. He saw himself dressed in golfing clothes. He experienced everything in great detail. He smelled the fragrance of the trees and grass, made each stroke with his entire body. After he was released from his captivity, playing golf in his mind 7 days a week for 7 years, his first outing he shot a 74. The power of a vision of mind over matters. The number 4 element to map changes. Insight changes the brain. At the moment of insight, at the moment of an aha experience, a complex new set of neural connections is created. 3 different parts of the brain light up on fMRI scan during these moments. An aha activates centers in the brain to release dopamine and epinephrine, which vaults someone into a more creative, synthetic state of mind. When someone is given information, a fact, a directive, or an order, nothing happens. No part of the brain lights up. As important as this insight-induced change is, the sustained attention is what hardwires it into the brain's circuits. Number 5, take action. The world will not pay you for what you know. It will pay you for what you do. It rewards action. To analyze, plan, think, and organize are important. Payday, though, comes with action. Winners develop a plan and set it into motion. It may not be perfect, but they self-correct and keep moving forward, learning from their mistakes to produce results. This may be why a group of the brightest people anywhere with all kinds of degrees can plan and figure out something but struggle to make it happen. Meanwhile, the guy who barely finished high school owns a lot of real estate on the west side of town. Number 6, to map change. Perseverance. The most important thing about a goal is having one. The most important thing about a plan is to stick with it. Wisdom is to know the right path. Integrity is to take it. A clearly defined goal can capture imagination and inspire passion. It can cut through the fog like a beacon in the night. 1 extra degree of effort in business and in life separates the good from the great. At 211 degrees, water's hot. one more degree and it boils. 51 publishers turned down Richard Bach to publish Jonathan Livingston Seagull. He took it to number 52. 141 publishers turned down a guy with a very unlikely title for his book, Chicken Soup for the Soul. He decided to publish it himself and sell it out of the back of his car. To get what you've never had, you'll probably have to do what you've never done. Lord Eliot said, "Perseverance is not a long race. It's many short races, one after another." The number 7 element to map change, identity transformation. A new experience or idea must be focused on consistently and frequently. When attention is consistent, brain circuitry is stabilized. The mindset of identity then incorporates the new experience and integrates it as part of an evolving self, as a component of one's identity. Otherwise, it's not integrated and prone to be dismissed as not me, or attributed to luck or circumstance. A summary of steps 4 and 5, decide what to change and map the changes. Since old patterns are hardwired, it takes consistency of focus on new experiences to change this wiring. Concentrate on new behaviors and not on problems in order to create new brain pathways. Just identifying the problem won't solve it. Create new ways of thinking to stimulate brain circuits, with an eye on the prize to lay new mental maps. Regulate states of mind and manage emotions to promote brain power. New insights and adaptations occur through balanced learning, left brain and right brain, intellectual and emotional. Facilitate insight rather than give or follow advice. When diverted to an old feeling or behavior, redirect ideas and energy flow to the new ideas. Remember that the power is in the focus and that permanent change is from the consistency of that focus. Focus on successes rather than obstacles or non-performance. Focus aligns and directs energy and efforts. Emphasize positive, adaptive behavior and progress. Discourage attention to negative behavior. Knowledge is inert until it's activated. Put it into behavior. Think about your new experience and evolving self, how your new experiences require thinking of yourself and your identity in an evolving way, no longer in the old story.